we've seen significant change. The next page is information that we've gotten from various sources on property values since COVID. Property values, home prices in Ventnor have increased 137% since 2019. And that's pretty typical for all the communities on Opsika Island. And they're still increasing. These numbers were just updated in the last couple of weeks. So, and you can see that actually the increase, the slope of the increase has increased in the last couple of months. So this hasn't stopped at this point. We have a very attractive area. We still have attractive pricing, you know, given our marketplace. And you know, you see a comparison here to Philadelphia and the United States. Certainly, our area is really benefiting from the real estate changes. The other thing that was mentioned earlier, a lot changed in the community when the new administration started. They took very aggressive steps to help to recover the city, which I don't know of other communities in our region that did what Ventnor has done, nor have they seen the results that Ventnor has seen. The liquor referendum was a major step forward. Certainly, you know, you have, when you look at the Down Beach communities, or all the coastal communities, you see a significant shrinkage of commercial space. Residential replaces commercial, and you lose your town's identity in many cases. The towns Down Beach have lost restaurants, they've lost commercial space. Here you have five distinct commercial areas. And you've taken efforts in the last decade to protect each one of them. The North Beach area, streetscape improvements were done as a result of funding from Superstorm Sandy. The theater district was really done as a result of a redevelopment plan, which was aggressive and really worked with the developer. In most situations, that building would still be vacant. The Ventnor Shopping Center went through a complete revitalization, again, as a result of a redevelopment plan. Again, look throughout the region, shopping centers are not thriving the way Ventnor Shopping Center is thriving. The center of town, there's been attention there, obviously new businesses that have helped that area, aesthetic improvements and investments that the city has made has solidified that area. And then actually Down Beach on Atlantic Avenue, actually the private sector is changing that. And, you know, investments in businesses, upgrading in businesses has really made that area a much more solid commercial area. So you're blessed from that standpoint. And a lot of it, it's not by mistake. It's because of public decisions that were made and actions that were taken, which is difficult for in most governments to actually move things forward, especially as quickly as what happened here in Ventnor. Tax abatement was introduced as an incentive for new development. Short-term tax abatement, which is an excellent incentive. We talked about redevelopment plans throughout the city. Another thing that happened was they reduced the look-back period for renovations, which is a FEMA requirement. We used to have an accumulation of cost over several years. And basically, if a homeowner invests more than 50% of the value of the property, they have to elevate the property, which in many cases makes a no-go decision for a homeowner. So it really helped to upgrade a lot of the properties. And additional events were added in the community to expand entertainment options and bring the community together. So lots occurred. Just to go through some of the recommendations that are in the plan. Tax abatement has already been used as an incentive, can continue to be used as an incentive for development. Amending the zoning code to address certain areas. We've talked a lot about the R7 zone, but there's one caveat to this. When you adjust the zoning code to allow for no variances in many cases, you don't have the opportunity for discussion that you had today. And, you know, you're very good at that. And, you know, it allows you to look at design, to talk about specific things that you probably wouldn't talk about in a by right situation. And you make the city better as a result of that. So zoning changes are fine. It's something that you do from time to time when there's really a need. But having that ability to negotiate from a planning and zoning standpoint is also very helpful for a community like yours. Adopting development regulations to promote flood resiliency. Now, this is an interesting issue, and I think we talked about this at our last meeting. Since our last, up until last week, the state was going to be implementing new coastal regulations effective the middle of July. We lobbied, actually, we met in this room with the commissioner of DEP and Senator Palestina and others. We've lobbied the state as all the communities together, statewide, and the governor decided to pause those regulations. So basically, they decided to suspend the implementation of those regulations for a year, and also committed to having meaningful discussions with the municipalities. Initially, when the regulations were put together, the municipalities weren't brought to the table. So, you know, they were really done in a vacuum. There were discussions with environmentalists and academics, but not the municipalities who know the most about it. So now there's going to be a more of a discussion. Hopefully, I mean, I don't think anyone was against some additional regulations for coastal communities, but what they were doing was a little bit too dramatic and would have had a significant impact on Ventnor and other communities. So we have a one-year stay and a commitment to really listen. So I think that's a big change. Recommendations on economic development, you know, continuing to use redevelopment plans in specific situations. Certainly that served the city well. Look at new options for parking, especially, you know, obviously in the commercial districts, whether it be transit, whether it be parking lots, you know, it could be any of a number of things. But certainly, you know, obviously that continues to be a need. Continue to invest in the business districts. As I said just a minute ago, your business districts will disappear. Based on what we've seen in all the coastal communities, your business districts will disappear unless you take proactive steps to keep them. You've already done that in many ways, but it has to continue. And 10 years ago, you didn't even have a business organization in Ventnor. Now you do, and there's significant investment in the business community. So if that's something that you want to keep, that you think is important to the city, certainly continued investment is going to be important. Continue to promote year-round tourism and sponsorship and sponsoring events. City has done a great job with events, has expanded events into the shoulder season, brings people to the community, helps commerce, makes the city alive in the off-season. So that's something to continue. And another big thing that's really just starting now, something we've talked about for decades, but is promoting regional tourism in our area. I mean, we're not alone. You know, we're a coastal area that relies on tourism. And quite frankly, what we're finding is our economy relies more on tourism now than it did a decade ago. Not casinos, tourism. That's what's fueling the increase in property values in Ventnor, and it's fueling the future of our area. So, to their credit, Visit Atlantic City, it's run by Gary Musich, who's only been in that position for a year, has broadened their responsibility to marketing the whole region. They met with the Cape May County Chamber of Commerce. They've met with local business organizations in all the communities. And basically, there's a willingness of all groups to work together. Everybody realizes that by working together, we all benefit. And that's something, you know, you see it on the Florida Keys, you see it, you know, any region that is successful, the Outer Banks, they market their region, and there's all kinds of opportunities up and down the region. We're starting to do that now. And I think that's something that everyone appreciates, and you're going to see a lot more of that regional approach. And you know, it benefits everyone. Okay, recommendation of waterfront amenities. We've all talked about the Thunder West Eco Park. It was in the last master plan. It's much more detailed now.
Where is that?
Thunder West, across from the school.
Yeah, so it's a big question. There's 140 acres between across from the school, basically, mm-hmm. to the bay. It's called Glass Beach. You know, if you can go back there and walk it. It's pretty wild right now, untamed. But I'll show you on that.
Okay.
Well, that's a funny question because most people don't.
No. Beautiful area. How's it? You need some more potential.
Except John does.
No. Yeah, it has huge potential. It's great for passive recreation. Continue to work with the Corps and DEP on beach replenishment and other things. Continue to pursue funding to finish the boardwalk project and enhance Key Beach. They're all things that are on our agenda now, and we're continuing to try to secure funding for all those projects. Community facilities, open space, and recreation continue to be a priority. The city has done a great job at upgrading various parks and facilities. That obviously needs to continue. Another recommendation that, as we see the school age population continuing to drop, and we talk about things like Ventnor, like the Ventnor West Eco Park, the school becomes an amenity. It's a big complex. Unfortunately, the school age population will probably, given demographics, is going to continue to drop. And if that facility can be used for other uses, it benefits everyone. So, we listed a number of here: library, theater, defense space, performing arts, senior services. It's really left to your imagination. But working with the school district as we move forward, reusing that complex in other ways is a real opportunity for the city.
Was it a landfill? Was it capped?
Was it? Ventnor West was a landfill. It's not really a landfill.
Use that word.
Yeah, it's an area. Quite frankly, everything here was filled. Ventnor Heights is all filled proper, filled land.
I mean, Wildwood's doing the same thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was spoils.
Yeah. Okay, so it's spoils.
Yeah, yeah.
Mayor.
Yeah,
I found out that around the fountain that you're trying to renovate and so on, where there were a beautiful grove of trees that surrounded the whole thing, and they were cut down.
Mm-hmm.
But it must have been beautiful in there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a true fountain, the way it was done. There's a huge amount of trees that are all around it, and so on. I never knew that existed until I was told that.
Okay. Now, our best example of a filled land here is the Borgata site. It's a multi-billion dollar complex built on filled land.
Yeah.
And they've done very well there.
Right.
and they did well for the region there.
Right.
So it's one of those amenities. Next recommendations are for safer streets. We've been pursuing funding for synchronization of the traffic signals on Atlantic Avenue and other similar improvements. Flood mitigation, we talked earlier about Superstorm Sandy and how that was kind of a turning point for the region. It did bring a lot of money in to make significant improvements. It kind of shined the light on this area. And made it a priority for a lot of assistance. And however, we're not done. The things that we've listed here are the things that are listed in the county hazard mitigation plan. Items that haven't been done yet that certainly would help to make the city more resilient. So that those things continue to be important. Next, capital improvements. This is kind of an interesting one. Fettner has a written, adopted capital improvement plan. Not many communities have this. And even better yet, Fettner follows their capital improvement plan. They go down the list, and, you know, it's clear that you know what the priorities are. As you know, the city is moving forward on many of these things already. You know, lead service lines are being replaced in the community. Drinking water, wells is being addressed. City Hall is being addressed right now for resiliency improvements and historic preservation improvements. So a lot of these things continue to be major priorities. Coastal regulations, we talked a little bit about this, you know, being actively participating in whatever the discussions are with the state and federal government is important. The city has a high community rating system level, gives you a discount of about 25% on your flood insurance, which results in over $1 million in savings to the residents of the city. Some communities do not do that. And continue to work with legislators on the Intercoastal Waterway. This is one of the things that we've been working with Congressman Van Drew on, basically to reduce the need to open and close the Dorset Avenue Bridge quite as much as you do now. The bridge is old, it's being renovated now, but it's still old. So the less it's used, the better off. So that's kind of a quick overview. You have the details. I'd be happy to talk about any of these things or other items that you think are important that we should include. Basically, moving forward, our plan, our thought is to, you know, obviously work with the planning board, hold a public meeting to invite the public in. It's kind of nice that we have a non-public meeting today, so anybody can say whatever they want, and we can talk about everything. But we'd have another public meeting, and then it would be adopted by the planning board. So at this point, I'll open it up to questions and comments.
I'm going to jump right in. There's a couple things that I think that I really want to highlight. Jay's comments about the arc of the city and how it's taken on, and I think there's some important things here that we use as leverage that I think we can only highlight better and educate the public on. I think there's a big misconception about what the abatements do. I mean, does everybody understand that
the abatement?
I think they're misunderstood. So that everybody understands that your tax bill is broken up into less than half goes to the city, right? And that other more than a half portion gets fully taxed, the school portion and the county portion. There is no abatement on that. And of that less than half, this abatement is a portion of that, a small portion of that, that has a small period of time, but it's a huge leverage when you look at the competitiveness of Vetner versus Margate. So when Margate has a $4 billion value in their real estate, and we have a $2 billion value, that puts us at a built-in disadvantage when someone attempts to buy a house in Vetner. They look at that tax bill as a negative. But we've created a bunch of other things that are mentioned here that makes that tips that person towards Vetner. The activities, the infrastructure, these amenities. But that tax abatement has the impression that we're giving wealthy people a gift, and it's not. It's a small portion. It's merely a sales tool, and I don't think we would be getting some of these large developments without it. And so the difference is, until Ventnor gets to be that, gets to have that value, we're not chasing the value that people say. We need value in a real estate in order to survive as a municipality. It's part of the math that goes into making it an appropriate and an attractive purchase for somebody. And all these things as a constellation is what's making it happen. And I think the abatement has to be put, it has to be really clearly explained to the public. Mm-hmm. Because they only think that somebody's getting something that I'm not. They're taking my tax dollars. Where the reality is, in Margate, you've got all these whale properties that are taking the heavy lifting off of the average person, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a bad use of words, maybe. I wouldn't necessarily call it a whale, but that's what's happening. You've got these $4 million, $10 million properties that are paying the equivalent of six houses in Ventnor. So therefore, their taxes can be smaller.
Yeah. The other thing there is the abatement is only on improvements.
Right.
So you're not really losing anything. The land is still being.
Yeah. Right. So that's something I missed. So you look at the pie chart. You're taking less than half, mm-hmm. and then of that is being abated, and then only the portion that you're improving. So your land value, that's not being abated. If you build a house on it, that's getting a portion of the abatement. I think it's 20% over 5 years. So it's a fraction that's being abated. It's not a giveaway. Mm-hmm. But the benefit is, 5 years from now, the city gets the full boat of that $4 million house or $2 million house or $1 million house. It goes right on the tax rolls. And the city needs it, because inflation is in everything is outpacing any kind of value the city can put on. Any kind of value that, you know, the healthcare is going up 37% in some cases. The salaries and pensionable values are going up and much faster than inflation. So if we lose that kind of built-in little sales tip, you're going to see some stagnation in the town, in my opinion.
More than that,
and we've seen it. You guys have seen it. You've seen before when it happens. It's not the only thing that makes a successful city, but it sure is a tool I'd like to have in my toolbox.
Why is it only residential?
It's only residential. There is a commercial abatement as well. It's a different formula. I think it's also 5 years, but I think it's just a different formula. Mm-hmm. But there is a commercial aspect, but it's harder for them to get, because I think it's only in the redevelopment zones. Mm-hmm. So it's not as easy and it's not as used as often. And the other thing, I think, like I said, it's not just one thing, but that's an important tool. The capital improvement, without these ratables and without without keeping your balance sheet valid and your bond rating down, you can't do those capital improvements. You're borrowing money too expensively. So all of those things that we've kind of instituted have helped us make those capital improvements more palatable over the years. And I think the capital improvement piece is something that also is misunderstood. But mostly it's the abatement's misunderstood, and the use of our surplus. You know, that's not money that you, that's a financial thing, maybe not appropriate, but it goes into the financial health of the city, you know.
Well, you can't do capital improvements unless you have a good bond rating. You can't have a good bond rating if you don't have surplus.
Right, so you can't get the job without experience, and you can't get experience without the job. Right. It's the same thing. Yep. So until you get that momentum shifted in your direction, which we have, mm-hmm. you're going to lose all the ability to spend on matching grants, mm-hmm. or just the main the surprises that come up along the way. Mm-hmm. So Mayor, I think the abatement, if this is going to go before the public, it's something that is misunderstood.
Mayor, I'm finding is that with the inflation rates and what's going on, that there has to be an augmenting third income to the city. And that is the problem where most everybody is running into. Commercial structures, other structures are in there. They're having to develop a third income, which is strictly for, to make up the deficits, because the costs of running the cities are too great, and they're moving faster than the city can adjust to them. Same as corporate buildings, same as condominiums. Mm-hmm. Condominiums particularly are running into this major problem. And so, Jim, this is a real problem in that, you know, if you, in some cases, it could be 5% of your budget, or 3% of your budget that you've got to augment. And it's coming, it's already here. Mm-hmm. And I see it through condominiums all the time. They just can't keep up. And the condominiums are like small cities. And the state put a new pension program in. They up the health care. They do this, they do that. The city didn't do it. The city is a victim, mm-hmm. and has to respond, or else they lose other things. So that's what's going on. And so it's a new dimension in planning.
Well, I think the city itself relies on residential, and these economic profiles are kind of sobering. Right? Mm-hmm. It shows that we're in a fully engaged shift from the blue collar hometown that we had, that I grew up in, to a shore town community that is just a different dynamic. And, mm-hmm. and I hate to put it this way, but you respond or you die. Mm-hmm. There's really no in between, you're flat now. You have to respond.
Yeah. What has happened, and not, you know, because I have the ability, you know, work from Toms River to Cape May, almost all the coastal towns. You've been aggressive, and you see the results. You know, when the chairman talks about a third revenue stream, yours is growth. And it's significant. It's allowed you to do a lot of things that other communities can't do, or they haven't achieved that level. So, I mean, the combination that you've implemented is working.
We have an economic component in our master plan that was put in last time. Mm-hmm. I don't know how effective that is, but it's there. Mm-hmm. And it's already of use, it's history. Now we have to look at how we exercise that, or can we exercise that? If the mayor's on the right track, he's essentially looking at the problem in the right way. But the problem is fast moving, and it's unpredictable, and it's not managed by us. It's being foisted upon other people. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem that we want to.
Thunderstorm.
Mayor, I don't know if you agree with me. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
In there.
I agree.
So we'll look more closely at tax abatement and explain that better. I think that's a good point.
Right.
It's always it's complicated for people to understand.
Yeah, and I think the tax abatement and the increase in rate is also, I think, well, that's not really for the master plan, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's more.
Well, actually, it is outlined in the master plan.
It is, yeah. But I think that people also misunderstand how much money that brings in. Like, we had something like $2 billion in rateable increase, and it really only amounts to $300,000 worth of actual dollars coming into the city. It's a tax base, right. Improvement. It's not an everyday dollar improvement. It helps the general public, but it doesn't help us pay to keep the lights on.
Well, how about the proverbial pie chart, where it actually shows the amount of money coming in and the retainage? In other words, like the school budget is like 22%, 23%, and the county gets what, 24%,
yes.
Right off the top.
Yes.
So you have those at 50% of your tax base. Over 50% of your tax goes right in there.
We work with 46%, and Joe gets 30%.
Yeah.
Okay. So, fuck, police and fire.
So, by the time you pay for all the services that are required, and you pay for the third parties, then, in using something like that, you're now showing in part of the master plan what the residual is to operate the city.
I mean, that's not the lead of the story, the lead, but it's the point, in my opinion, that it's part of the story and how delicate it can be if you don't keep improving.
It's fragile, no, it is.
It is.
It's very fragile.
I mean, you're a few bad choices away from it going different.
I mean, it, a slightest little thing puts you over the line, because you're looking at maybe 2-3% and float, that's all you've got. There's a difference between it. It's very fragile.
What happened with the storage place? There's that still.
There was a plan for storage, I think, I don't know. I mean, it was really never a great plan in my impression, because they were they were cutting a building in half.
Dollar General.
For the Dollar General.
No, that's not there.
They approved it though.
They reapproved it, so. But I mean, that's an improved lot that would get a higher tax rate that wouldn't depend on services, so it would be a benefit.
That lot's technically not part of the Metro Plaza, correct?
Yes.
My understanding of Wawa dropped out of going into the Metro Plaza was Acme objective, because it said they had similar products. But can we approach Wawa again if we're given that other lot?
The Wawa plan, I think, is different. I don't think they're interested. It's too low for gas stations.
That's a pad site. That was a pad site.
Yeah.
We're talking about a whole 32,000 square foot structure that was going to be on the other side, attached to the building that Dollar General.
I understand all that.
Yeah.
I'm pulling up the same parcel of land, that if that's not going to happen.
Well, we don't know what's not going to happen, they have final approvals.
No, yeah, it might just be, they might just not display.
Well, why don't we reach out and talk to them?
To Wawa?
No, the storage site.
You adopted the development plan for that site.
Mayor, do you want to talk to them, or do you want me to talk to them, or somebody else from the city?
Honestly, from a fire department perspective, I don't think the storage area, what we talked about before, is not a great idea. You just don't know what their people are going to do.
It's approved.
I mean, maybe if they see.
Other places.
It's sprinkled as far as I know.
Pictures of what they brought, so.
It's a climate controlled building. And it's approved.
So.
Other ideas.
I just wanted to get those points out there, thank you.
I have a question, Jim. The decrease in the population, do you think it is because of the cost of housing? And the decrease in the amount of renters is, and students going to school is, there's less renters and more Airbnbs, because they can make more money. So the solution for the population to be a little higher, I don't think that's going to be resolved with, as the increase in the property values go even higher.
Yeah, all the coastal communities are seeing a decrease in population and a decrease in school age population, to the point that some communities, like Seattle, doesn't have, they don't have, they had, they used to have two schools. Yeah. They don't have any schools. So, you know, here though, you know, you have a property value that can still support families. You know, part of the plan is to be able to maintain that. You know, you have neighborhoods that support families, that support, and you still have, you know, 607, almost 700 school children. Mm-hmm. So it's still significant. We're seeing, you're right, some people are priced out of the market. Some families move to the mainland or move to other areas for schools, or for just quality of life or other decisions. We lost 19,000 jobs. People migrated out of the area, you know, especially people that had good jobs who probably lived in Ventnor and places like that. Yeah. So that had an impact as well. So it's a series of different things that affect us. But certainly your rate of decrease is less than all the other coastal towns.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, because of what you have. You have good schools,
yeah.
You have quality recreation facilities, which are, you know, are family driven. You know, you have downtown areas that most coastal communities don't have. You have things that families want to have.
Well, the thing is, with, when you see a decrease, I remember when we were doing zoning and we increased the cost to come in front of the board. And I was like saying, wow, this is crazy. Why did it go up so much? And then, I don't know who was solicitor then. He says, we're still nowhere near other cities. I said, never mind. Okay, got it. You know, you got to make a comparison. So.
How important do you think it is to maintain the commercial district? Should we have incentives?
I think it's what you've done, and I think it's paying dividends. Because you have a real balanced community, you have something, you have things that, you know, I live on the mainland. I come to Ventnor. Because you have unique shops, you have unique opportunities. And so, you know, it brings people to your community to spend money, which is not a bad thing.
Should we think about incentives for the businesses?
Certainly. I mean, you know, there's, you know, part of it, incentives are difficult. You know, obviously you have tax payment, which some new construction is taking advantage of. That's one thing. You have public improvements, like right now we're starting on Dorset Avenue to do streetscape improvements, which obviously makes that business district that much stronger. It doesn't have to be a direct incentive to the business themselves. It's hard to find that kind of money for those types of uses for these, you know, in a community like Ventnor. But there's other things the city can do, you know, amenities and, you know, payment on major improvements, redevelopment plans for certain areas in order to maintain a commercial use, at least on the first floor. All those things are good incentives.
How aggressive are our incentives for improvements in business districts? I think if there was a way to turn that dial a little bit more, I would improve it. I think to your question, Wendy, it's very difficult to use public money to help a private business improve. Mm-hmm. That there's a firewall there, and it shows it shows partiality. Right. As a taxpayer, you don't want to pay for someone's new awning. But if there's a way for the city to encourage more facade improvements, I'm all on board. Because if there's ways that we can make it easier for small businesses to make their facades more attractive.
Is that grant money possibly?
No, that's the point. It can't be city money. It might be grant money or through a separate entity like a nonprofit.
Mayor, mm-hmm. I'm trying to look at a way now to do that. And it has to do with the internet and mining. And also in linking businesses with cross-references and referring clients with integrating the businesses themselves. So
is that separate from a policy, though? I'm talking about a city policy.
I know, but it goes right to it as far as accomplishing.
Right.
The individual owners or the buildings get the funding from it. They develop funding from it.
Okay.
And because I just feel that the model that it's there now is a broken model, and the entire business structure needs to change, and the way they market needs to change. And there's whole new styles, there's whole new technology to do that.
It's not easy, but it's not impossible. There's downtowns that thrive, and I'm just saying, if there's any dials that we can turn, if we're only getting a certain amount, we can give a little bit more.
Sure.
Because it doesn't really affect our day-to-day bottom line, but it affects the marketability of the town. If there's a better space, I think there might be nonprofits that could fundraise and then give those back. I think the beautification committee has already said they would do things like that. But mm-hmm. I'm talking about what's in our toolbox.
Yeah, there's and just give you some examples. So, you know, in Ocean City, they have three special improvement districts. The downtown is one. The boardwalk's a second, and 34th Street's a third.
Okay.
They do joint marketing. They have leadership involved, volunteer leadership.
Three separate groups.
Their budget's approved by council, and they raise the money through their organizations, and they go for grants for certain things, which is typical in a lot of downtown areas.
Why why is their budget approved through council if they're independent?
Special improvement district still has to have oversight.
They have to have oversight, so the city oversees.
Yes.
So they have some control over, so they're not putting up something unusual like.
Right, so it's coordinated.
So it's coordinated.
But, and we'll take a closer look at that and other options to provide for facade improvements and other improvements.
Can there be ordinances requiring, because most of our businesses, the business districts, the businesses are not owning the building.
Right.
You know which building I want to talk about.
Right.
Can we have an ordinance requiring a building owner to maintain or their facade again? We have a Dollar General town, and we talk about it all the time. You drive anywhere around Atlantic County and see any Dollar General, they really look nice.
Mm-hmm.
Facade is nice. Ours is an eyesore.
It's not a my.
Can we require that owner? Can we require the owner to do something like that?
Yeah, but it's owned by a private owner, leased by Dollar General.
Understood, but at no point is the owner responsible for his building.
I have no problem with that.
You can lease it wherever you want, but it's still your building.
But I understand that, but he has rights on your property.
Without getting to specifics about one building or another, because I think you have to look at it as a overall. But that's an easy example. The broader thing is, it's not complicated. People like to be in beautiful places. And it really lands on code enforcement. They can either be, they're either going to be strict and by the book, or lenient, or somewhere in between. And I think you got to lean the pendulum closer to strict than by the book. And that's, I hate to say it this way, but that's not my department, but it depends on something like this, if it's something that goes in the master plan, that's the bottom line. It's not any one thing, it's the enforcement of code. And you can say, hey, that building really should get an awning, or that building really, you know.
But still, if you can enforce the code, but if the financial wherewithal is not there, then you can enforce all the codes you want, and the wherewithal to do it is not there. It's not going to happen.
That's why I come back to, can there be an ordinance?
Yeah, and I'm a little bit more, I have to say, I've owned a business, I've had it in a storefront. You got to saddle up sometimes. I'm a little bit more didactic about that. I think if you own a business, you got to own the ability to have the business within the district that you're living in. It's up to us to toe the line.
If you're a lessee in the building and you don't own the building, you own the business.
Yeah.
But the lessee complicates the problem.
Right.
So a point I was trying to make is, in some cases, it may be easier to replace the building than it is to replace the front.
Right.
Because the financing is easier to get for a whole building than it is for a portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But these people are collecting a lot of rent. The money's there. It's not our fix their property.
That's not our job to decide which business is successful or not. People, we make a choice. We're going to take all the risk and we're going to give them a reward, or we're not.
Well, we're talking about incentives for downtown areas. Another thing that coastal communities have used is density.
Density?
Yeah. You have two or three floors of residential above commercial.
Right.
New construction. And meets all your requirements. What's the planning board's thought about something like that?
Mixed use?
Yes.
And there's a lot of that in Margate that's gone on, and I would love to see more of that here.
I think
we've put a lot of emphasis on the plaza, on Dorset, and this kind of Ventnor Ave area has been neglected, and that's a huge downtown that's linked to Margate, Longport, mm-hmm. Moorfield, you got Linwood there, and I think this is a huge link that we're missing and just leaving this place.
If there's zoning ordinance, I think the zoning is outdated. It doesn't allow those mixed use residential in a really clear defined way. And I think that what I've read is that the parking component for downtowns is zero in some thriving cities.
Right.
It's just the way it is.
For commercial.
For commercial. You don't need to have parking in a commercial area. It's, look at the whole, you know, the Hudson, all the downtowns in Hudson Valley, street parking, all, and they thrive. You know, all the downtowns in Hamilton is a 25 year overnight success. You know?
Right.
But there's no street parking for those.
I think having like a commercial zero parking space is required. Even making this Ventnor Ave area, maybe we can make this a redevelopment zone and kind of put some emphasis on this in this master plan and focus on that.
Then they qualify for longer term tax abatement.
But I would love to see mixed use with a redevelopment and then have no commercial parking requirement, maybe for.
I have a basic question in here. How do we know that we have either enough, just right, or too much commercial? And have we ever really evaluated how much commercial we need and where we need it?
It's based on their success.
It's market tells you that.
And your market tells you that you're successful.
Okay, what I'm just saying to you is, have we really looked at it and said?
Yeah, it's really market driven.
I mean, I wish there was some, you know, some crystal ball you could look at, but there's no. I think that what's happened organically is what should happen. There shouldn't be one big swipe at the commercial district that adds the large plannings like we've seen in the past. I think it's the successful businesses breed successful businesses. People want to be in attractive places, mm-hmm. and all those, and it's not too much more complicated than that. And I think we've got a lucky infrastructure. I think we've kind of created dividing lines on our business districts where they're kind of right sizing. You know, the Dunkin' Donuts to now Troy Avenue development. Mm-hmm. That's a good bookend. I think that's a discernible bookend. You know, the North Beach, I think, it also has its own discernible bookend, and the Fredericksburg Avenue is a discernible bookend.
Mm-hmm. I think we have to look at these districts and the anatomy of them and see what makes them work, because there's different formulas of making one work. And why they exist. If you ask the questions, why? What makes them profitable? What can make them more profitable? And how do we enhance them? Mm-hmm. Ask those questions and ask them everywhere, and then seek the proper answer. You want to look at those hard and do that evaluation, and that'll tell you more about what you're doing. I don't think we've looked at them really that well. We looked at them, but we didn't ask the hard questions. Mm-hmm.
You
said it's a place people want to go there, but the Better Social, when it was Santucci's, nobody went there.
Right.
Better Social is beautiful, it's great, you can't get in there on the weekend.
I understand that, but you have to go in, you have to ask the hard questions, find out what a formula is that's working in an area.
I think the redevelopment plan
idea is really at the crux of it, because that's the next kick to the momentum, mm-hmm. right? It's that we've shown that we can bring people here to live. That if you can bring people here to buy, to shop, mm-hmm. then you're going to get more people here to live. And right. that, and what you said about the zero parking and the Ventnor Avenue Business District, if you can fold that into something tangible for someone to look at, just like the abatement, you tell them that they're getting a fraction of a fraction, but they're like, I'm getting something.
Right.
That's yep. all they need. They just need a little bit of a teaser, you know.
Great.
There's an awareness of something, and then it is being aware of how it fits into the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to say is we need to look at, be more cognizant is the awareness that we have, and then the knowledge and the awareness of how it fits into the whole picture.
Mm-hmm. The redevelopment plan idea ties into what you're asking about too. For absentee owners, that's their leverage.
Well, like the mayor said, the redevelopment, that they didn't have some teeth there. Mm-hmm. They're in a development zone,
that's redeveloped property.
It's also easier to package, it's easier for them to understand. You can say, this is a new, this is a new program that we're trying to, to bring people into our business district. And with that, there's an incentive here to improve, to give you the ability to improve your facade, but also don't leave the people that have been here for years stranded. Say that if you want to, you're now in an improvement zone. If you want to change your facade, like the one that we talked about, he was looking, he said he would do it if you gave me something, basically.
If you help
somehow, he would improve, that dysfunction.
That is bad, it's.
It is.
If you.
It's an eyesore down there.
The other way around, and the other shoe is, if he helps, we'll try to, aid him. He's looking for the other way around. Should be the other way. He's got to initiate for us to help him. That's the way it should be.
I don't know. I mean, that was my theory on trees. I was like, at some point, you got to meet him halfway and say, listen, we just put in 30 trees and decorated it. Turn around and look at your facade, you know?
Yeah, the streetscapes.
Right.
The trees, like, you go down, like, the Margate has the light posts with the big hanging flower baskets on them.
Yeah, my argument is.
Every day, you're going to do it.
Yeah, Bill.
Got a work truck.
You got the goose.
Yep.
You have to change.
They're beautiful, I think. It's a couple months of the year that you got to worry.
Right.
We're not to redevelop. That's what I've been trying to say to everyone. There has to be.
We can work on that.
A new idea, a new direction coming in to motivate people to change.
Can you write that and get a grant for it?
We already have it. We've already developed.
In terms of grants and read, because I thought those would be on.
Not, I mean, we, you know, after Chip Sharp Sandy, we got $1 million for the North Beach section, and we just got almost a million for Dorset. It comes every once in a while, but it's not what you want to hang your hat on. It's not going to create the kind of substantial change that you're looking for. But a redevelopment plan with the right incentives, you've already seen what it does. You saw what it did at Ventnor Plaza. You saw what it did in the theater area.
Yeah.
It works.
Jim?
Yes.
The thing is, with these commercial districts, you have to change the neighborhoods and buck the neighborhoods up to around them. Because they give the support and disposable dollars to these places. If you have a better neighborhood that supports, that has more disposable dollars, you'll have a better commercial district.
That's underway.
I know that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying is the acceleration of that.
I think we all see it around our housing.
Is very important.
And you see it in the demographic section of the master plan. You know, while the population is going down, the amount of new houses going up, construction, that's all improved. The reduction in houses in foreclosure has gone down. So, you know, the population may be going down, but that's because it's shifting. And so it's fewer year-round people, but you have more people of some means who have a second house and they're coming in, and so, you know, as that goes up, that'll be more of the draw for more businesses.
Sure.
Different kinds of businesses. So it's not going to be a hardware store, it's going to be another commercial, you know, a coffee shop or a bagel store. Just hoping.
Right.
It's just that it changes.
Yeah. And there's specialty stores that you have that have started to happen in town. They're the attractions. That's the future. Retail is not the future, but specialty stores, especially in a community like Ventnor, that's what people want.
I think it's also easier to do an aggressive redevelopment program in residential that surrounds the area than in the commercial itself, and that brings in a lot of interest in the stores. And you can do it with it can be done easier or in conjunction with. But it's an important and a very important issue for the success of a business district.
Well, see, with residential, what are you going to give? Basically, what the property owner is looking for, something over and above what already exists. For residential, what you have to give is more density, which you don't really want in your neighborhoods. You want your neighborhoods are historic.
That's not exactly true. What we have is a lot of our districts in there are obsolete, are in a format where the ownership and the distribution of the land, where the actual, it's not, it's just an obsolete whole program. It's crammed together. It can be redistributed
Well, that's a change in zoning. It's not a...
We understand, but it wasn't a change that we mapped it out. We have the map already. And we've been looking at it. But it's, for example, you have flats, or you have all small houses and everything else. If you went to side-by-side fee simple townhouses and redeveloped in an area, you develop a whole character of a whole neighborhood. And it's a bit radical, but it's coming. And that's a development standard you have. The neighborhood and the organization we have is obsolete.
Yeah, the zoning changes are in the plan. That's
just going to... I'm just saying to you, a lot of our neighborhoods, the way they're laid out, the type of housing that's available, and the type of housing that the market wants is obsolete.
You brought up a really good point, though, earlier about changing the zoning, and that by changing that zoning, there's less people now coming in front of the board, and then we had, you know, this great discussion on what was going on in Winchester with, I mean, they added the window boxes. There was so much more that came out of that, and, I mean, maybe we do want to reconsider scaling, I don't know. I don't know how far we're going to be going with the zoning, but...
Fortunately, that's the commissioner's decision.
Yeah.
But you're right, I mean, that is, and you...
I mean, it's a fine line between you want to do something, you don't want to do too much.
And you see the benefits.
Yeah, exactly.
But you also get that, like you said, you get a good conversation going within the board on those things. It kind of happens organically in the residential. For me, if I'm going to move my pieces to make the most effect to get the city forward, I'm looking at the downtowns and that. I want to do that first.
I think that needs to be the biggest focus.
And by that time, the residential will be a little bit more fully cooked into what they want to be. Because you can't tell people what they want. They'll tell you what they want by their dollars, right? And for me, it's that if you want to move the city forward faster, it's getting the downtowns into this destination point.
And you have good domes. I mean, you're not struggling. You're starting from something that's significant.
You have to do both there.
I agree. I'm just putting them in order.
Okay. They're all things we're going to continue to look at. So, good discussion. Other ideas, thoughts?
All right, well,
I think the Knicks game is on.
Oh, man. Okay.
Does anybody else have anything they wish to talk about, or should we just call it an evening here?
Just real quick, Jim. So if we had something in our head that we have a vision for Ventnor, should we express it to you?
Sure.
You know, it's not like... It's for the good of Ventnor, not for the good of the individual.
Right, definitely. No, definitely. We'll look into it. Just all the things we talked about today, we're going to follow up on. We're going to get more detail and a better understanding of the tax abatement. We're going to look at redevelopment plans and other incentives for the downtown areas. We'll follow up on
the tax abatement. Just put up to 50% off. Everybody will do it. And it's really 10%.
Right, exactly.
Okay, Jim, are you complete?
Yes, thank you. Thank you,
board members. Thank you for this evening. And if you have any further ideas, feel free to bring them up. This is an exchange. This is our board, actually, and we serve others. So we have a motion for adjournment. All those in favor? Your adjournment.
Okay. I need to run as fast as you can. You guys are missing the draft.